Hello, everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast. Be back on with you guys. Hopefully, you all are getting ready for the weekend. Got some great plans. As I always say, do some things for yourself. Take care of yourself. Spend some time with your family. And don't let the world get you down, man, because sometimes, it comes close to getting us all, right? So, guys, if you all listen to the podcast regularly, you know that I have had Waheed Abdul-Muhaymin on the show before. He was talking with Dr. Damon A. Silas about suicide and grief. And more recently, I had on the show Zach Hopp, who is also a friend of mine, as well as a friend of Waheed's. And I thought, again, it would be good to have some of the guys behind the scenes who support the Barbershop Group kind of have them, come from behind the curtain so you can hear a little bit more about them, about male bonding, friendship, just, the guy next door. Yeah, a lot of us, if we're online, we know that celebrities are talking about mental health and their physical health and about fatherhood and everything under the sun. But it's really cool to just have the guy next door kind of open up and share some of his tidbits, right? So, Waheed, are
yes,
you
sir,
there?
I am.
Hey, thanks for coming on today, man. I know you are busy working a lot, hustling a lot, doing a lot of stuff. And guys, just so you all know, I didn't say this, and I need to say this, that Waheed is skilled at a lot of things, okay? So if you are in the St. Louis area and you need a photographer, you definitely want to look him up, okay? In addition to that, if you have an event and you're looking for talented spoken word artists, hip hop artists, just guys who are really, really finding a creative way to express a lot of the internal things that we experience, Waheed is definitely somebody you want to check in with. So Waheed, man, as I said, we had Zach on a couple weeks ago. And it was great to have him on. You know how difficult it can be to get him to open up about things, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, Zach, say more than two words, please.
If you're not talking about music, he's not going to talk.
Right. If he's not talking about music, he's not going to talk. So you know what, man? We definitely want to pay honor and respect to Zach's father, who was the person who really introduced him to music, man. As he said on the show, that his father just taught him so much about music. So I can deal with him talking about music all
right
day, man. It's keeping his father's spirit
right
alive. So what he look, man, a lot of people don't know that you and I, just like Zach, we have been comrades for quite some
yes
time. And one of the things that you and I talk about, and then we try to get other men to talk about, is just kind of male bonding, male friendship, because believe it or not, man, a lot of guys don't actually have good male bonds.
Right.
I think because we've known each other for so long, I think sometimes we can actually take it for granted that we have that close bond.
And I agree with you on that. I'm glad that we have the relationship that we have, because I have learned so much from you in regards to relationship that I can apply to other areas of my life. And it was interesting. I was listening to the podcast that you did with Zach, and I found it interesting that as long as Zach and I and all of us have been friends, to learn some of the things that I learned about him in relation to his father was like new to me. And it's amazing that, I mean, we've been friends since 95, 96, I think, when I met Zach.
Right.
And it's like, I'm still learning new things about you guys. So,
right,
but I feel like those, like learning those new things have allowed me to like become closer to you guys as a result of it, because it's like, I'm still discovering new things about my friends.
Yeah.
Interesting that I listened to that and I learned about the music connection. I never knew where it came from. Now it makes sense.
Right.
Now it makes sense.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I never knew that either, man. I'm just like, I used to sit back and listen to him talk about music and I'm like, dude, what is really going on right now, right? Like, it was kind of like, wait, is this the little fat kid in the basement that plays video games all day drinking Mountain Dew type of thing? like what's really good? But now I get it. I understand. Right. So, man, you know, and I got to kind of like stop you for a minute because, you know, I think you give me way too much credit. I think, man, sometimes I do a bad job in letting you know that in keeping in touch with you and Zach and talking about a whole lot of things, you all being a sounding board for me actually helps keep me sane.
Okay.
Right. Because I roll around with a whole lot of crazy thoughts in my head. You know, when I say crazy, guys, I mean, you know, I'm people consider me to be kind of like a spiritually inclined type, but sometimes I can have experiences, man, that are just far out there. And I'm talking to Zach or I'm talking to Wahid because, you know what, man, I need to get this out. I need to share this for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, guys, just so you all know, I do want to tell you all a quick story about how Wahid and I met. As you all know, this is part two of Two Guys and a Girl. We know that you all really like that title. You don't know what you're in store for when you when you read that title. But, you know, Two Guys and a Girl, man. How did this come about with Wahid? So here I am getting ready to go to university. I'm going to go to this university, and the coach calls me and says, hey, listen, we're not going to put you in the dorms. We're going to put you in the apartments with the upperclassmen. So I'd like for you to come up, spend a weekend with everybody. You can go to the track meet with us and, you know, we just hang out, get that experience. And I thought, oh, wow, yeah, this is cool. I felt like a real recruit, right? I felt like, oh, I'm doing it now, big time, right? So I get up to the campus, guys, and they had me meet up with one of the student athletes who was there. And he kind of started giving me the tour of the campus and just explaining a lot of different details, you know, to me and just spending some time with me there. And at one point, he asked me if I knew a certain girl that went to the university. And I said, yeah, I know her. I went to school with her. I know her, but I don't know her well. And for whatever reason, man, he felt like of all the people that I should see that particular girl. Now, you know, this is, wow, my goodness, 20 some odd years later, right. 22 years later, 23 years later, something like that. And, you know, now I have a different mindset about it than I did then. But for whatever reason, he wanted to introduce me to her. And we went to her apartment. And she was just as happy as she could be that she saw me. And I thought, whoa, Jack, wait a minute. Does this guy know about the history? Now, for me, there was really no real history other than the fact that I knew from a relative of mine that the girl liked me at some point. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That she liked me. So, but it was never entertained. It really wasn't my style. I'm just like, nah, I'm good. So we get there and she's like, hey, you know, as happy as she can be. And I'm thinking, man, this is not going to be good. We spent a few minutes there. And then the tour guide took me to his apartment and then downstairs where some other guys were living. And I didn't know exactly who I was going to be living with for sure, who my roommates were going to be. But the coach told me, well, you know, these particular guys, you don't know them. You'll get to know them. I think I'm going to put you with them. So my tour guide took me to my future roommate's apartment. And I walk into this place, guys. I got to tell y'all this story. You got to just ride with me through this. I get in this apartment and it's dark. Right? These guys don't have a whole lot of lights on. Okay. And I'm like, okay, what's really going on here? Yeah, I look over in one corner. They got snakes in one corner. Right. I'm like, okay, I see. And it's a few guys down there all sitting around. And I'm thinking, okay, is this the weed party? What's getting ready to go down here? Purple haze? I don't know. And some guys are sitting around talking. And I'm kind of quiet at the time. And I'm just observing these guys talking. And, I forgot to mention that when this tour guide took me to the girl's apartment, she gave me her phone number. This is really important, mm-hmm. just so you all know.
Yes.
Two guys and a girl. This is really important. So I get down to Wahid's apartment, and these guys are talking about a number of things, and I'm kind of checked out. And I think, you know, now that I think about it, Wahid, that was actually part of my true personality, even at that time, man, where if you were talking about something that didn't pertain to kind of where I was traveling in life, I was just going to push it aside. You know, I could just be a fly on the wall.
Right.
But then these guys started talking about this girl, and they said the girl's name. And as I'm listening to the conversation, I figure out, oh, snap, the girl that I just saw, the girl who just gave me her phone number is actually attached to Wahid, okay? And I'm staring at this brother. I'm in your apartment looking at you like, oh, my God, I got his girl's number in my pocket. So, bro, now I'm getting sweaty. You know, y'all got snakes. It's dark. I think you were sitting in some kind of like bar stool chair or something. Mm-hmm, you had a bat or a stick or something. I'm like, yo, this ain't right. My man got his shirt off and his little Mike Tyson boxer. Man, that was pretty well. Anyway, guys, listen, he did have some Mike Tyson type shorts. I ain't gonna lie. Okay, so we get ready to leave. I figure out, man, these guys, him and his girl, they've been into an argument, man. This is not good. She gave me her number. This ain't going to be right. So I decided at that moment to say to Wahid, I'm like, hey, Cat, man, can I rap with you for a minute? And he was like, yeah. So he takes me back to his room. And I'm thinking, man, the least he could do is put the stick down. Right. So I get to his room, man, and I look down and this fool got snakes too.
Got a pet store in the house.
Man, got a pet store in the house. I feel like I'm like living with the Black Steve Irwin or something. So, you know, man, we talk, we sit down and I tell him, I said, look, man, I don't know you from Adam, but I need you to know that I was just introduced to your girl. And she gave me her number. I don't want anything to do with it. Here, you take this number back, man. I want no type of heat, okay? And that's pretty much where Wahid and I connect. So I have to tell that story because, again, we're talking about two guys and a girl.
Right.
And the bond that ended up happening as a result.
So with Zach,
you know, the bond happens because I'm ready to go beat somebody up because, you know, he want to holler at this girl and he throws shade on my name. With you, it's like, hey, you know what? I want nothing to do with this, man. I'm trying to stay right. Here you go. I always tell that story to people because for me personally, I feel like that's where I made the connection with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I could be wrong.
Well, you know, I definitely agree with you, but I'll take it one step further. I think that was kind of our introduction to one another. And in that, I felt a different type of connection with you than I did with everyone else. But then I remember what ultimately did it for me was, I don't know if you remember how you and I would have different types of conversations than you and I would have with everybody else in the apartment.
Right.
When everybody else was around, we had there was a different dynamic in the apartment. But when you and I were, it was more of an intellectual energy in the apartment. I remember the day. No one was in the apartment, just us, and we were in our separate rooms. And I went over to your room, knocked on the door, and you were in there reading.
Yeah.
And the first book that I saw was the Chancellor Williams book. The name slips my mind, but I remember the author. The Deconstruction of Black Civilization.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
So that was the first book that I saw. And so in that, I'm like, okay, this brother, you know, he ain't just an intellectual, he actually reads. You know, some people talk, but they don't have the book knowledge, you know, in addition to.
Right.
But then I saw the Quran. On the nightstand.
Yeah.
And I remember it as plain as day. It was either a white handkerchief or some type of white cloth that was underneath the Quran that was sitting on the nightstand.
That's right.
And I remember saying to you, I said, oh, you're Muslim. And you said, yeah. And I said, oh, okay. And you said to me, you are too. I said, yeah. No, I'm not. You said, yes, you are. You just don't know it yet. And I remember thinking, like, this dude, if he really knew me, he wouldn't say that about me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I fast forward to October of 09, when I was in Rockford, like the Chicago suburb area, and I took Shahada. And I remember the first person I called was you. Like, dude, guess what I just did?
Right.
You know, because for me, it was one of those things where that conversation and you were always constantly in the back of my mind in that whole journey, not just towards Islam, but just since leaving school in 98, you know, attempting to pursue my track career, moving to California, all those different things. You know, we didn't talk for a couple years, but, you know, it wasn't because, you know, for whatever reason, other than that's what life was. You know, Zach and I had a different bond because my brother introduced me to Zach. So I had that connection, but then Zach had a connection to you. So it was always like we were always constantly in connection with one another, even if it wasn't directly, you know, I feel like, you know, that helped in that, because I always carried the things that that you and I talked about, you know, in those moments, always carried those things. Even if I didn't talk to you, it was still, you know, those little lessons or those conversations that we had, I would always be like, oh, you know, I remember me and, you know, talked about this or whatever, you know, whatever it was. And so I think even in the absence of us not communicating directly, it was still the connection that we made from that phone number incident.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think, you know, for me, what it amounted to was just like some bare bones honesty that I was trying to convey to you at that time. And, you know, just so you guys out there listening, no, I wasn't a proselytizing type of person. I just, what I picked up on with Waheed was that, man, Waheed was much like myself is what I gathered was that, you know, he wanted to find something higher, deeper. It was always about meaning. You know, we both don't get me wrong, guys. We definitely are imperfect men. Right. We have always been imperfect men. We have always been imperfect boys. We struggle with our inner child just like everybody else. But one of the things I think that always interested us and that we were able to do with each other was kind of, you know, put aside some of the ego stuff. Put aside the showmanship and things like that, and just kind of get honest, you know. And it didn't happen overnight. No, there's still things now where it's kind of like, well, you know, let me test this out. I'll go a little further. But I think if you look at typical male bonds, guys never really get to the point where they go further with the people in their lives.
Exactly.
Right. You stay surface level either because you choose to stay surface level or there are other things that are happening around you that keep you from getting deeper. Right. So one of the things that you said was that, you know, for a while we didn't have direct contact with each other. And I think about that a lot. I do, believe it or not. And I haven't shared this with you, but it bothers me, but it doesn't bother me that we didn't have that type of constant contact. Because I know that during that lack of contact, there were things that we were both experiencing that helped us go further. Right. There were things that we had to experience individually to be able to come back and be able to share life with each other. You know, it was like, okay, you went away from dude for a minute and you had this experience and now you come back and it's like, hey, partner, let me tell you about this.
And we were able to share some of those things. And what I found to be ironic was there were a lot of similarities in the journey that we both were taking. you know, right. without even having to communicate right. with each other, you know, we were That's walking right. this parallel path, but separately.
Right.
And so when yeah. we did have the opportunity to speak to one another, it was like, oh, wow, you went through that too? I'm really not, you know, I'm really not alone now.
Right.
You know, because sometimes hey, when you go through yeah. things, you know, and you don't have that person to share it with, you think you're by yourself. So That's right. when you actually That's right. sit down with somebody and you start sharing this story, and then they say, well, man, you know what? I was going through that too. You're like, what?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, right. even in that moment when we weren't communicating and we decided, you know, we like reconnected and we started sharing similar stories, that strengthened the bond because it's, you right. know, because now it was like, okay, I can talk to him about what I went through. Right. I can't talk to somebody else yeah. because they won't understand.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you thought about this, but guys, I got to tell y'all this. Listen, you know, a lot of times when Waheed would be experiencing something, either I would be experiencing the same thing at the same time, or it would be, it's coming right. up, or it just left.
Yep.
And it was eerie like that. Like, wait a minute, man, that just happened to me. Or, wait, that just happened to him. What's getting ready to come
right.
my way?
So it was almost like this thing of, you know, we were able to help each other through shared experiences, whether you had already experienced it and I was about to, or we were going yep. through it at the same time, or, you know, vice versa. So
yeah.
I always valued your friendship, you know, probably not telling you as much as I did, but even in bringing Zach into the fold, you know, I remember being Zach's best man at his wedding.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, he's probably going to kill me for sharing this, but, you know, we're friends. So we were standing outside the church and we were waiting to go in. And I remember Zach was standing on the steps and he started crying. Mm. And I remember with this, you know, trying to break the ice because I really didn't know how to handle seeing my friend cry.
Right.
And not knowing why he was crying. And so yeah. I cracked his joke. I said, Zach, I said, do not run. I said, we got these tuxedo shoes on, and we'll be slipping and sliding down the street, and I'm not chasing you in this. And, you know, he kind of laughed a little bit through the tears. And
yeah.
subsequently, you know, we went into church, and he got married.
Right.
And I remember, you know, thinking about that because it was funny to me, but at the same time, I sensed something about Zach that I didn't know. And I didn't know how to address it with him. Okay. So, you know, Zach and I had experienced a lot of different things in the short time that we had originally became friends, from being right. kicked out of school, you know, not having a place to go, going to a school together, subsequently meeting you,
right.
you know, Zach getting married, me getting married. Like, it was just this yeah. little short window that Zach and I experienced all this stuff. But I knew from that moment that Zach was somebody that I wanted to be friends with forever, you know, right. and I felt it. And yeah. I felt that yeah. same thing with you. And it's like, even now, you know, we communicate every day, you know, right. in some right. way, shape or form, all three of us, but do we, right. do we always have serious conversations? No, but I'll share this. Sometimes our conversations can start off extremely comical. And yet, somehow, it's always a lesson that comes full circle. We always right. end up, right. the conversation ends up becoming something of a, like a learning lesson. And then it goes back to the comical part of it again. And,
right, right, you know, that's true.
I can't share that with everybody. You know, yeah, I have friends outside of us, but it's not the same type of friendship. You know, I can't. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't talk about, you know, Zach and I have experienced the loss of children.
Right, you know? That's right.
And so,
actually, we all have.
And, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. how, you know, how can you communicate that to a man who's supposed to be strong? You know, we're right. not supposed to right. cry. We're not supposed to be vulnerable and all of this. But I can tell you that, you know, through the friendship that I have with you guys, I'm able to share that more, you know, yeah. I'm more comfortable letting someone know I lost a child and this is how I feel. You know,
right.
I lost a brother yeah. to suicide. this is how I feel about that. Before, and I'll share this story. I know I shared it with on the previous podcast, but I remember being with my brother that lives in California. He was my track coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at track practice. And I have a tattoo on my chest of my brother that passed. And one of the and so I had my shirt off one day at practice, and one of the girls that was down there asked me what this was, and I told her what it was. And she said, "Oh, how did your brother die?" And almost like it was rehearsed, my brother and I said at the same time, "He was shot." And I remember thinking to myself, man, you running around telling the same lie. You know, because suicide and the mental illness aspect of that, that we think was a part of what caused that, was something that you couldn't talk about.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, that's why I'm such an advocate for what it is that goes on at the barbershop, because I know what that feeling is like to sit across from somebody and somebody's talking about someone with a mental illness and you can't say what you want to say for fear that you're going to be embarrassed because they're like, oh, so you support crazy people, you know?
Right.
And so I've gotten into that space now where I'm comfortable with that. But again, it goes back to having the relationship that I have with you guys that gave me the courage to say, you know what? Forget what everybody else thinks about how you feel. You know, you feel how you feel, and those people that are important to you, we got your back.
That's right.
So when I talk about the things that I talk about, I'm not talking about them because, oh, so here's a quote. I'll say this. Here's a quote that I like to live by. When I speak the truth, it's not for the sake of those who don't know. It's to protect the ones that do.
Yeah.
So, right. So a lot of times people will say they're conveying the truth because they want to share it with other people. I look at it and say, you know what? I convey the truth because I want to protect the people that know what the truth is, because to the rest of the world, we're the crazy people.
Right.
So they need support. So
that's
what, you know, that's where, that's why I do and say the things that I say. But yeah, man, I, you know, I can't speak. I mean, I could probably take 2 or 3 days and talk about the connection that I have with you and Zach and how instrumental it has been in my life, even to the point of, you know, sharing those achievements with our kids. You know, you talk about your kids, and I'm like, man, you know, I want to live vicariously through your son. Or, you know, it's like, man, like, you know, let him do that. But at the same time, you know, I have the courage to parent as I do because I see how my friends are parenting. And no, we don't get it right, but we learn.
Yeah, but we try. We try and
we try and we learn it, because something may work for you, and it'll give me the idea to say, you know what, maybe I can try that. Because I don't know what to do.
Right.
So yeah, you know,
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, I think about those things. I think about those things a lot. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, and I asked Zach previously, you've always heard me say that if a guy doesn't have good male bonds, you know, with the people in his life, he won't tend to have good bonds with the women in his life.
Yes.
I say that often, but I want to get your take on that. What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely agree. And I'll, you know, I'll share a little bit. You know, I struggled in my earlier part of my life with not knowing how to maintain proper relationships with women, whether it was a friendship or in an actual relationship with them. And part of the reason that was because I didn't have a male in my life that gave me one. You know, my father, my father was not a loving man in the sense that, you know, I didn't spend weekends with my dad. I didn't go hang out with my father and do those types of things. My father was more of a provider. You know, my mother would call my father and say, hey, he needs this. And my father would tell her, come get it. And that was it. You know,
gotcha.
I didn't do anything other than that with my dad. And so I ultimately had a stepfather that was very instrumental in my life. However, I found out that my stepfather was married at the same time he was married to my mom.
Right, you know? Right.
And I didn't understand that, but at the same time, I understood that this man treated me like a son. He did things. He did things with us. So now you have this, you know, idea of what a man is supposed to be. You know, a man has more than one woman, because my stepfather did, and he, you know, and my mother loved him. So I don't know if my mother knew or not. However,
oh, she just looked past.
Exactly. Him, huh? So now, you know, fast forward, I grow up. Well, guess what? That was the only real example that I had as a man of what, you know, I was supposed to be. And so ultimately, of course, you know, I was a, you know, I was a active young man. I ultimately would be in relationships sometimes with more than one woman, because that's what I thought. And then, you know, my brothers, they were, you know, they were the same way. This is what I saw. But I ultimately learned that this, that doesn't work for everybody.
You know? No lie.
It doesn't work.
Hey, let me just, man, hey, look, because I don't think enough, men and women hear men say that. Okay. There's got to be some guys out there who are willing to say, hey, I tried multiple women. I tried a player. I was trying to bounce around, whoop-de-woo. It didn't work out the way that it was supposed to, and it's not cut out for me, and it may not be cut out for you.
You know, it takes...
You may not be cut out for that,
takes a lot of, you know, extra energy that could be devoted to her, you know, maybe if there's children involved, or some sort of career that you're, you know, you may be...
Right.
You know, but to attempt to do that, you know, and of course you're not going to half do it. So you want her to feel like she's the only one, just like you have the other woman. You want her to feel like she's the only one.
Right.
So now you're dividing your time, and you still have to sleep, work, and do all these other things that you, you know, that you're supposed to do in life. It just something falls to the wayside. And most often, and most often it's one of the women. And then, create the problem for you.
But you know what? Not only, I would say, I'll go even further what he didn't say. Not only is it one of the women who fall to the wayside, but it's your own self-care, your own self-development.
But you know, correct. However, you know, a lot of times as younger men, you know, we don't look at self-care. Self-care is another woman.
That's right.
You know, it's the ego. You know, self-care is, oh, I'm going to go get me somebody else to replace her because it's about me.
Right.
And so ultimately, you know, when you get in your late 30s, early 40s, and you look back and you think, man, I wasted 15 years of my life on something that means absolutely nothing to me now. And now I'm sitting here with a woman that I want to love, but I don't exactly know how.
Right.
And now it's creating problems in this relationship, and I don't know how to fix it.
Man, you know what? And I do have to tell you, that's something that one day on the podcast, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about, you know, having had different women and tried to be involved with different folks, man, and just done things so wrong to the point where when I met somebody who I really wanted to love, I struggled to do so. Struggled mightily to do so. You know, because it got so confusing. And I just say, for me, you know, I was haunted by all of that.
Of course.
Stuff. You know, there was no worse feeling for me than meeting just going, like, I'm looking at this person in her eyes and I want to love this person with everything that I had, but I have this terrible past, you know. And guys don't realize, man, that those things catch up to us and we can be haunted by those things, psychologically haunted by those things.
Absolutely.
We don't realize it until we start getting a little grayer, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, too, though, you know, like a lot of times it takes you to accept the fact. See, you know, prior to me becoming like the person that I'm becoming, because I'm still growing and learning.
Yes, we are all becoming.
Yes,
that's
you know, but you know, the main struggle that I had was accepting the fact that I had done the things that I've done, like they were wrong.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I always attempted to justify the behavior.
And, right. Don't we all? Don't we all do that?
That was part of the problem was, you know, yeah. whenever you would be confronted with a situation, instead of saying, okay, you know, let me attempt to look at it from another perspective, you attempted to justify yeah. it. And then what right. happened is you would have, you know, quote unquote, friends who were enablers. So they would help you
That's right.
justify why you did what you
justify.
Did. So now, right, this friend is telling you, oh, man, you should have done that. And now you're thinking, right. oh, well, I got somebody that agree with me.
Right, they're gassing right. you up.
But see, you know, falling back to our friendship, one of the things that I, you know, I appreciate is about you is you would hold us accountable. You'd be like, come on, man. Like, mm-hmm. come on now. You shouldn't have done that. Like, you had to think about that one. And it's like, you know, this is my friend. And he telling me that I'm wrong. You know, like you're supposed to be agreeing with me, bro. You know, I'm supposed to be able to call you to help you. Yeah, you know, no, for no, me no. to see, get like get out of this right. situation.
No, I'm a friend of you. I'm not a friend of your ego.
But see, that's ultimately, that's where when you develop those type of friendships, I think yeah. that's when you start growing. Because
yeah.
now you got to go stand in the mirror and you got to look at the person that you are, and then you have mm-hmm. somebody that you love tell you, okay, man, that's who you really are. And I'm not finna yeah. help you do whatever it is that you're doing because it's wrong. I'm not helping you. And it's like, you know, but you know in the back of your mind that it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, see, let me point out something too, though, for everybody, guys. It's a thing. See, when you see your friend doing something and you enable them, or when you don't say, hey, man, look, there's a better way. Don't go down that road. See, if you can't get to the point in your life where you can say that to your friend, then know that your friend is at a place in his life where he can't say that to you either.
Right. Right.
You see, so both of y'all are going to be lost because neither one of you are ready to stand up to the other and say, whoa, slow down, right. cat. Let's rethink this.
Right.
You see, neither one of you are pulling each other back from the dog. You know, just both of you sticking your hand through the fence like that dog ain't going to bite. Yes,
right.
It is going to bite.
Exactly.
The dog going to bite the shit out of you.
Exactly. Okay.
You know, don't be with the person that's going to let you stick your hand through the fence like that, man. Okay.
Absolutely, man. And so, you know, it became one of those things where when I accepted responsibility for the mistakes that I made, you know, I started to feel different about myself. And, you know, ultimately, like my relationships with people, even my children, changed.
Yeah.
Because yeah. now, you know, I can admit, even to my oldest daughter now, you know, I can admit to her when I'm wrong. You right. know, when she calls me
and
she says something to me and she's like, well, Dad, you know, you was wrong about that. And I can apologize. Well, you know what, sweetheart? Look, right. you know, I don't have all the answers, you know.
Right.
And right. that in turn strengthens the bond between us because now she realizes, you know what, my dad is being, you know, honest with me. And I feel
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, I feel like that's one of those ripple effects because now she's going to have the courage to go be honest with someone because someone was honest with her.
With her. That's right. And you know, man, that leads me to this because we run this show okay. on time, but I want to put this out there. We, you know, guys, stay tuned because Waheed and Zach both are going to be on the show together. We're just really going to chop it up. I can't wait to do it. But I want to mention something about fatherhood and the status of fathers today in America and around the world, but especially here in America, okay? The guys, I know there are a lot of you all who are fathers out there. You're married fathers, you're single fathers, whatever you call yourself, your fathers, okay? Stepfathers, all of this. Listen, I know a lot of you all feel like fathers are not getting their just due. Okay, I know this to be true, all right? A lot of you all are probably shaking your head like, damn, Skippy, you're right, I know. Okay, but I want to kind of like challenge you on something. All right, you heard what he talked about being extremely honest with his daughter, and I believe that we have to do these things with all of our children. We have to be extremely honest with them. Okay, But one of the things that I want to say to you all regarding the status of fatherhood is this. If you're waiting for somebody else to elevate the status of fathers in America, if you're waiting for somebody else to validate the status of fathers in America, stop. Just whatever you're doing right now, just stop and listen to what I just said, okay? Don't wait for anybody to validate the status of fathers in America. Do not do this, all right? Now, I'll continue to say, if you want the status of fatherhood to raise fathers, all of you guys who have children, you're going to have to raise it yourself, okay? One of the mistakes that a lot of guys are making when Father's Day rolls around, for example, is we're looking for recognition, but we're looking for recognition from the wrong people. And I'll tell you who a lot of us are looking for recognition from. A lot of us are looking for recognition from the mothers of the children in our lives. We're not looking for recognition from the children. I mean, let's just think about this, Waheed, for a minute. Think about maybe some of the comments that you said to yourself or to other people. I think about some of the comments that I've made to myself or to other people over the years. Maybe not so much lately, but over time, okay? A lot of those comments were a reaction to seeing what was happening as a result of women, what women were saying or how women were responding or what they perceived to be true, okay? And the reality is, if anybody's going to raise Father's Day and fatherhood, fathers have to do it the same way that mothers raise the status of motherhood, okay? The same way that mothers raise the status of motherhood and then children respond in kind, fathers have to do that thing. How do we do that? How do we raise it? How do we raise the status? We got to be honest with our kids, okay? We have to lay it on the line for our children, all right? The same way that your children know about the status of Jesus and Muhammad and all of those historical figures and presidents and all, they make them learn about so many people in school, right? But think about who they should know the most. Who should they know the most? They should know the story of their father the most. Okay? They should know more about their father than they do about Abraham Lincoln or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or any of them. You see? And so I challenge you guys to say, are you sharing your life with your children in that way? Because that's the way fatherhood is going to be raised. That's the way we're going to get the status. All right? We're not going to get the status because, you know what? A salty baby mama isn't saying some nice things about us today.
Right, right.
You know, a wife who's been around us for 20 years and sees our pretty and our ugly didn't say some nice things about us today. So we don't feel like we're getting our just due as fathers. That's not how you get your just due as a father. Okay? It's really, really not. So I just wanted to say that to you all and put that out there in the air because I think somebody needs to hear that.
I agree.
Okay, so guys, listen, you all have been listening to Waheed Abdul-Mohaymin. You know, again, he is a huge, huge supporter of the Barbershop Group. He often helps me out with audio. He's done some voiceover stuff for us, as well as some photography. And we're always appreciative, man. And, that's a professional level. On an individual and spiritual level, I need you to know, Waheed, as I always say, I love you too,
and bro.
I have to tell you that. I have to tell you that. Because we don't know when, you know, we will leave this earth. And I want you to know
of
that.
Of course.
Guys, I will leave the links up for you to be able to follow Waheed. Just a good friend of mine, as well as a good friend of Zach's. Like I said, both of them will be on the show later on. So stay tuned for that. I do have a couple announcements and call to actions. Listen. If you all are on social media, you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook. You can also follow our website at www.thebarbershopgroup.org. You can follow our newsletter, which is published every day at 12 p.m. We go through about 300 or 400 articles that cover men's mental health, addiction, men's sexual health, toxic masculinity, fitness, all those things will come right into your mailbox, and we got some juicy stuff out there for you, all right? If you are living in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, we do have a workshop that's coming up in a place called Cornelius, North Carolina, about 30 minutes north of Charlotte. That's coming up August 24th. of this year from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. You'll be able to sit down with myself and Dr. Damon A. Silas, who's a clinical psychologist in North Carolina. We've got a lot of, you know, group work that we like to call it in store for you guys. If you're able to make it out, please do so. And I think those are all of the announcements. Oh, there is one more announcement. If you would like to donate to the Barbershop Group and the mission that we are doing, you're able to do so right from your phone in the app as you listen to the podcast. All you have to do is hit the support the podcast button, and that will take care of that. So again, guys, we hope that you all have enjoyed hearing the conversation between two guys and a girl, you know, and how we met. But we just wanted to give you a little bit of a look into really how guys develop the bonds. And really, we want to encourage you men out there. There are a lot of you all who don't have friends. We know you don't. You are really, really lonely, and you're kind of filling in your cup with some other stuff in lieu of good male bonds. You're going to need them at some point. Yes. Okay. And so, guys, we just want to encourage you all to have a socially healthy life, as well as a mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, financially healthy life. Okay. So we hope that you all will have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.